Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. Today, we're going to be talking about quite a few different things here. On the top of the news, you might have heard about Hulk Hogan's death. And so we'll be talking a little bit about that and also about news from Anne Burrell. She was that chef on the Food Network. And so I'll talk a little bit about that, but also about some of the saints. This past week, every day each was a special saint, and they deserve a notice or a little bit of information about them. Because this month is just filled with a lot of great saints. And so we'll get into the saints of the day. And also, of course, as tradition in this program, that we'll also talk about the readings and tie it in with some of the news here. And also regarding the gospel, and does God change his mind? If God is perfect and never changes, can he change his mind? And also, what happens to people when they die? Many times we immediately think that they go to heaven, or some people don't believe that there is a heaven or an afterlife. So what happens, especially when we hear news like this, or what do we do regarding our own mortality? How should we deal with this, right? When we hear different famous celebrities and people or relatives who might be sick and or dying even. So we'll get into all of these topics here today. And before we move on, let's start off with the Our Father prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So later on in the program, we will talk about the gospel, which goes into the Our Father as recorded by St. Luke, which is a little different from what we know and what we just prayed out loud from what usually is from St. Matthew. So there's a difference here, and we'll get into why there is a difference in the Our Father prayer when we compare Matthew's version of it, which we just said, versus St. Luke's, which we'll read later on in the program. So let me just go right to this week, actually. If you've been following me and as a regular listener, or if you heard me on another network on Radio Maria, that, you know, I was really excited this weekend about my son, who was installed as the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Oxford, Pennsylvania. So me and my wife and family are very proud of him. And that was just this past Sunday, which besides being the Lord's Day, it was also the feast of Saint Elijah. And so I had told my son, Father Anthony, that, you know, that he was put in charge of his parish, and how Saint Elijah was the one on Mount Carmel and had this spiritual contest against the 400 priests of Baal to see who, quote unquote, God was, you know, better, or, you know, who was really the real God. And of course, our God, the only one God, vindicated Saint Elijah. And so I was telling Anthony, my son, Father Anthony, about how what a special day that is. And I gave him some gifts there regarding scapular and also some prayers of the Sacred Heart, because we grew up, you know, like this, praying the prayers of the Sacred Heart, which I wanted to share with you later on as well, because sometimes when we ask for prayers, or for instance, if we actually had heard whenever Padre Pio was approached to pray for them, Padre Pio would say a certain prayer. And so I'll share that a little later in the program. I gave that prayer to my son because we prayed that as a family. Well, you know, well, he was oldest, and prayed that with all of our six children. Anyway, what thing I learned from him in his own homily is he said that as a pastor, not only is in charge of the parishioners of his parish, their eternal soul, but he was also informed and told the parish that literally he's in charge of all the souls in his district, so where he's the pastor, which means for those people who don't even believe in God, so they may be atheists, agnostic, they may be non-Christian, they may be Christian, they may not be Catholic, but he's still in charge of their eternal souls. And that blew me away to realize all of that type of responsibility. But if you think about how our Pope Leo the 14th, is also really in charge of all the world, whether they're Catholic or not. And so that's why you see how the Pope speaks out on different things, even though it's non-religious matters, but especially if it is, right? If it affects the spiritual life of different groups of people, he'll speak out regarding war, you know, and so forth. Anyway, so that was just really something I wanted to share with you. It was a great weekend. A lot of people there, seeing a lot of great, great faces. I think there was I don't know if there were 6, 7, or 8 different priests, and we had the bishop, auxiliary bishop McIntyre presiding, and it was really great. Got to see some old friends and different people. Anyway, so this week is filled with a lot of different saints, and, you know, just really quickly going through it, on this past Monday, the 21st, was St. Lawrence of Brindisi. And, you know, he's a Franciscan that isn't really as popular, but, you know, he's a real giant in his own right. He can be ranked up there, but many times people don't realize it, that he's such an intellectual and such a great theologian that he ranks up there with Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. So look into St. Lawrence and Brindisi. And then this past Tuesday, we had St. Mary Magdalene. Again, she was the one that was exorcised by Jesus of the 7 demons, right? And traditionally, those were related to the 7 deadly sins. And so next week would also be the feast day of St. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And so there's the relation there. Also, yesterday was another great saint, St. Bridget of Sweden. You know, she was married young, 13 years old, and I think she was married for 29 years when her husband died. She was widowed. She had 8 children, and her second born child was Catherine, and she became a saint, St. Catherine of Sweden. And I think St. Bridget was around during the time of the Avignon popes. So she and St. Catherine of Siena were a couple of the saints who helped convince the Avignon popes, the popes who were living out in France, to go back into in Rome. And then here we are today on Thursday, July 24th, that we have St. Charbel Malpouf. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a Lebanese priest of the Maronite Rite. And some of you may not realize that the Maronites are completely united with the Roman Catholic Church. They're in union with the church. So when I use the word rite, what I'm talking about is the type of ritual. So the rituals that they use is of a very old ancient tradition, which has certain rituals that are look exotic. I just went to their healing mass on this past 22nd. We're so lucky here in the Philadelphia region that there is a parish, St. Charbel's, out in Newtown Square, and they have a great young priest, Father Joseph Daif, and he has so much passion and love for our Lord and our Lady and the faith, and the way he celebrates or offers the divine liturgy is really something to behold, and his homilies are very energetic, very passionate. You can just see how much he's in love with the church, the divine liturgy, our Lord and our Lady and all the various saints. But for them, St. Charbel's in Newtown Square, they have every Tuesday or every 22nd of the month a mass at 7 in the evening, and they follow that up with a devotion to Saint Charbel, which is the feast day today. But they have the devotion where they have a relic that they can put on you and then bless you with the holy oil from Saint Charbel's tomb. And I'll get into that as far as the background of Saint Charbel. So let me just turn on to that website here as far as the saints of the day. And so Saint Charbel, his full name is Joseph, which means Joseph, Antoine, which is very similar to my name, and Dr. Anton Raimundo, which essentially is another way of saying Anthony. So his name was Joseph Antoine Maclouf, and he was born in 1828 in northern Lebanon. And he really had a passion for prayer. He had uncles that were, two of them were, that were hermits, and he left his family when he was still young in 1851, and he spent time in a monastery there for his first year, and then he entered the Maronite order, and that's named after Saint Maron, and so he carried the name Charbel, and that was named, he got that name after a martyr from Antioch. Remember, Antioch was the place or the city that Christians were first called Christians, and that's, you can see that in the book of Acts in chapter 11. Father Charbel, you know, he was ordained a priest on July 23rd, 1859, and he lived in the monastery there for 16 years. And then after he asked to be, a hermit, or he actually spent 23 years as a hermit, and he was struck with an illness while he was performing mass in December, and he actually died on Christmas Eve on December 24th, 1898. And that was very close in time to where the Carmelite saint, Saint Therese, the little flower, she died in 1897. So here is Saint Charbel. She died in 1898. And also, this is around the time of the Shroud of Turin, where the famous photographer, Secunda Pia, when he took a picture of the shroud, he saw in the negative the image of the of Jesus on the shroud. So this I mention all this so you can just realize what was happening during this time. And Pope Leo XIII was alive at that time. Anyway, so here it is that he was buried at the monastery. This is going back to Saint Charbel. And what was very unique about Saint Charbel was, a few months later after he died, there was supposedly these dazzling lights that were seen around his grave. And from there, from his corpse, they could see that there was some secretions of sweat and blood that was coming from him. And because of the lights and because of these secretions, there were hordes of pilgrims that were swarming around the place to get his intercessions, and God blessed many people with graces and different miracles. And in 1925, now, so this is just 27 years later, you know, his beatification and canonization was proposed by the Pope then, Pope Pius XI. And what happened that in 1950, they opened his grave and they verified that his body was still intact at that point, and a lot more healings and, you know, miracles were happening. And so, you know, there is something that they would take the oil from his grave, and people who would use this oil would get healed from this. And that's why I wanted to mention that he is what's considered to be like the Padre Pio of the East. And so, you know, I love Padre Pio and how mystical he is. You know, St. John Paul II actually said the church has two lungs, the East and the West, and we must learn to breathe using both of them. And so this is why I want people to really know more about Saint Charbel. So you should see how he looks, that he has, like, he's hooded. He looks like he's pensive and with his eyes cast down, and he has this long, pointy white beard. And he would never be in any pictures, except there was this one that was a very famous, where they were taking a picture of some other people, or I don't know if there were other priests, but lo and behold, he appeared in that picture. And then somebody of that time recognized who that was and said, that's undoubtedly, that was Saint Charbel. And so that's the picture that is circulated around if you look on Saint Charbel. And so hopefully that you can look him up, have a devotion to him, and or if you're living in the area, like in your Maronite church, to go to it, especially the one right here in Newtown Square, if you're local, as I am here. So I'm like 20 minutes away from where I live here in Westchester. But there again, there's Father Joseph Daif there, again, for the Maronites. And they belong to the Catholic Church. They follow the Maronite rite, which is a little different. When you get communion there, you'll get it that's in tinctured, right? So you'll have communion, but it's dipped in the blood of Christ. And when you receive it, and therefore you can only receive it on the tongue, which I prefer, actually. And anyway, so it's very great a saint here that all of you should be aware of and know more about this great saint, who is like the Padre Pio of the East. All right, and then tomorrow, of course, July 25th, Friday, is St. James the Apostle, St. James the Greater. And the reason why he's called the Greater is because he's taller or bigger than St. James the Less, or St. James is known as the son of Alphaeus, okay? St. James is different, and that's supposed to be the cousin related to Jesus. Whereas this St. James is the brother of St. John. So James and John, you know, their parents is Zebedee. They're the son of Zebedee, right? And Zebedee's wife is named Salome. That's different from the Salome who did the dance, for Herod, and which then ended up to be the reason why St. John the Baptist's head was cut off. Anyway, St. James the Greater, like I said, he was a little taller than the other James, and he was the brother of St. John the Apostle. And, James and John and St. Peter, they were the inner circle of Jesus. You know, so yes, there's the 12 apostles, but you would know, like, when Jesus went up to Mount Tabor and have the transfiguration, where Jesus' face, was shining there, and also saw Moses and Elijah and the three apostles that went up with them, was this inner circle, which included James and John and Peter. Now, I don't know why Andrew wasn't there. If you remember, the brother of St. Peter is Andrew. But the thing was, Andrew, what's great about Andrew also was Andrew and St. John, they were the first two apostles that were called by Jesus. Remember, they were the apostles who were followers of John the Baptist. And St. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And this is where the two followers of John the Baptist, Andrew and Saint Andrew and Saint John the Apostle, they went after Jesus and met Jesus, and afterwards they went and told their brothers. So Andrew told Peter, right, and then John told James, and this is the saint James the Greater, so you have two brothers, and lo and behold, they are fishermen. So it's like they all knew each other here. And so, which which makes me want to make sure that this is an example of what we should do. We who love the Lord and our Catholic faith and Our Lady and all these different saints, we should really be going to our own family and spreading this great news about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the church and all these saints, his Blessed Mother and so forth, and all these other saints, just like James and how responded to his brother John, and just like how Peter responded to his brother Andrew. If they didn't go evangelize their own siblings, we wouldn't have these two pairs of brothers as these great apostles and have three of them as the inner circle. Anyway, so I just wanted to make sure you know about St. James. And also, this is the same St. James, if I'm not mistaken, about where we talk about the way or the pilgrimage or the along Spain that people travel to and they made a movie about it called The Way, starring Martin Sheen and his son Emilio Estevez. I highly recommend that movie. I think it was done in 2010. To go watch that. I know some different people who make that trip for this pilgrimage. I forget how many miles it is that treks up along the Spain. I don't know if it goes through Portugal, but it goes to the specific church there to celebrate the way of St. James. So that's the St. James that for tomorrow. And then this Saturday is another great saint. It's the parents of our Blessed Mother. It's St. Joachim and Anne. And so like I said, this whole week is just filled with various saints. And what I'm trying to import upon all you good listeners is that when you look at the calendar and you pay attention to it, that you have all these clouds of witnesses, these saints as role models that we should aspire to, but because they were real human beings who reached a certain level of perfection here. I mean, even though they're human, there's certain levels of perfection where they have such things, what we call as heroic virtue, where they show such virtue that it becomes heroic, whether they give their life up to God or they have some sort of suffer some sort of pains or types of trials or tribulations to show their love for God and His church. And once you get to know who these saints are, you can ask their help, their patronage. They're like specialists, right? Where you know, go to a certain doctor for help. Maybe you would want to see, like, if there's somebody has cancer, you go to them, a cancer doctor, for particular help. Now, even in that field of oncology, that there are specialists there that are better than others, whether it's for lymphoma or leukemia or breast cancer or whatever type of cancer. They have certain specialists that even gets even deeper to than one who's generally an oncologist, a cancer doctor. So these are the saints here, and I wanted to make sure I brought up Saint Elijah, which normally is on the 20th, but because it fell on Sunday, of course that is the Lord's Day, and so it wouldn't be celebrated per se. But as a lay Carmelite, which I am, I just wanted to make sure that you know about St. Elijah, because sometimes we don't realize that these Old Testament characters or people are saints. So just like, just for instance, do you know that we have St. Adam and Eve? That's right. And do we know that when their feast day is? So if you think about it, if Jesus is the new Adam, well, the original Adam, if the new Adam, Jesus, was born on Christmas, day, right, December 25th, the old Adam was born the day before, on the eve, Christmas Eve. So it's very appropriate and coincidental that Adam and Eve, their feast day was on Christmas Eve, being that Adam is the first Adam, the old Adam, and the new Adam is Jesus, born on Christmas Day to the new Eve, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's the way to remember the feast day of Saint Adam and Eve is Christmas Eve. Okay? All right. Let's see here. Also, what I wanted to mention, you know, well, there's a lot more to say regarding this, the two celebrities that have passed. One today, of course, is Hulk Hogan. I didn't know if any of you are aware, you know, about his prowess as, you know, wrestler, but also, of course, he became politically involved and, you know, big supporter of Trump and so forth. But also, you know, the Anne Burrell, who had passed a few, like in June, and, you know, the reports of the cause of her death was also happened. Well, as far as, you know, Anne Burrell, you know, some of them will know that, you know, she died and they didn't know what was from, but it looks like it was from, you know, from suicide. And so, you know, we want to pray for souls like this. And I wanted to bring this up because, you know, when they did the, when I'm looking at ABC, our local news here on 6ABC, on their report, where, you know, she was only 55. And, you know, she was found unresponsive in her Brooklyn home back in June 17th. And again, some of you may or may not remember, but she was a chef, you know, on the Food Network. And it looks like the chief medical examiner said, you know, it was from acute intoxication due to a combined effects of diphenhydramine, Benadryl, you know, ethanol, which, you know, alcohol, cetirizine, was Zyrtec, and then amphetamine. And so, you know, again, the way the Catholic Church looks at suicide is that, again, God is so merciful, and if a person has a lot of mental illness, that there are some things that decrease their, you know, their culpability, how shall I say. But also we leave that up to the mercy of God, and we also just, so we can still pray for people who have passed. And this is, in fact, one of the reasons why Father Chris Aylar of the Divine Mercy came into the church, because he found out one of his relatives, I don't know if it was his mom or his grandmother, who when he committed suicide, that he thought that there was no hope, but he found out that there was still hope, believe it or not, even after the person passed away. And I'll get into that. I'm at the bottom of the hour, and I want to make sure we take a break and then talk about this, this suicide of Anne Burrell. And then we'll get into Hulk Hogan, and then we'll get into the readings and how this all ties in. Okay. So let's take a break, and then we'll come right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906. Or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And we are so thankful to be on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, and on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And again, like our ad said, if there's any of you listeners out there or know anybody who could sponsor these programs, whether it's my program, Kathy McCarthy's, or any other good podcasters here, radio hosts for In His Sign Catholic Network, to please do so and call into the office there and to see if you can help contribute in any way. Every little bit counts, because we all donate our time and effort because of the love of the Lord and the love for His church and for you good people, so you can live a happier life here as a Catholic, or get to know the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church, which was founded by God Himself, Jesus Christ the Messiah. Okay, and so let's go on now. We were just talking about Anne Burrell, you know, the Food Network host, who had committed suicide, according to the chief medical examiner. And so I wanted to just say, you know, how it is a very rough life being a celebrity, yes, and also a chef. And if you watch any of these shows with the competition and just the pressures of them trying to be so, perfect. And even if I recall right, there was that Food Network host, or Anthony Bourdain, also committed suicide. I think he was by hanging, of all things. Now, what I wanted to interject here, some signs of hope, because again, how I left at the end of the first half of the show was that there's still hope even after the person passed away. And that may seem contrary to common sense, but let me give you the example of Father Chris Alar. If you don't know how to spell his name or who he is, look him up. Alar is spelled A-L-A-R, Father Chris Alar, for Divine Mercy, and he's leading, and he's the main director there for the Marian apostolate. And it's regarding, you know, the diary of Saint Faustina, and her name of her diary is called Divine Mercy in My Soul. And it's about the divine mercy of Jesus Christ. And there's this famous picture that some of you may be familiar with, red and white light streaming out from His wounded heart, and Jesus taking a step towards a person, giving mercy. Well, if you go and search the internet and just look for Father Chris Alar's biography, whether it's on YouTube or in one of his many books or on interviews on EWTN, you'll hear how when he went to confession, a priest, and he mentioned about, I don't know if it was his despair or lack of hope, about a relative. And again, forgive me for not remembering if it was his mother or grandmother. Someone had committed suicide in his family. And at that time, I think he was like 30 or 33. He had a really great job out in Michigan. I think he had like an MBA and was working in the auto industry, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I watched that, but he was later instructed about divine mercy. I think that part of his advice and the penance that he had was to find more about this. And this is where he learned that the Lord Jesus Christ, even at the moment of death, before the soul leaves the body, which we as Catholics come to understand is real death. And this is different from how the doctors look at it. I am a medical doctor, but, you know, I was involved with, you know, as a medical doctor, of declaring somebody dead But also, when I practice anesthesia, I'm retired from that now. We would, have people on a ventilator, and some of them would be, giving their organs for donation. So they'd be, for transplant, and they would be declared brain dead. And there's different tests to check on that. However, that's a medical way of looking at it. But what I'm talking about is the way the Catholic Church looks at it. Because medically, when a person, when physicians say a person's medically dead, they don't know when the soul leaves. And there's many doctors that don't even know the difference between a spirit and a soul, or even believe in God for that matter. So when people are called dead, it depends on, well, which perspective are you looking at it, science or theology? And then some people will think that, oh, theology is the highest of all science, and they'd be wrong. They'd be wrong. The highest of all science is theology, because it studies God himself, and God is higher than all of science. It's the highest of all sciences. In fact, theology is the queen of all sciences, and whereas philosophy is the handmaid to theology. And why is that? Well, just real quick, science is limited by the senses. In other words, science can only measure things that are physical, right? So in other words, using our eyes and ears, our nose, our taste and feelings, our touch. Whereas if it can't use such senses or instruments, then it would think it doesn't exist. And so therefore, I'll give you an example of love. Science, as advanced as it is, cannot measure love. It cannot say that love weighs a certain amount of ounces or pounds. It cannot say that love is a certain height, weight, or depth. It cannot say that love tastes a certain way or smells a certain way. But people would never deny that love does not exist, because they can't weigh it or tell people what the color is or what size it is or the smell or taste of it. We all know love exists because we all crave for being loved. Right. If we feel unloved, we feel horribly one way or another. Somehow we want that love, even though science cannot measure that. So, but what tools do we need to be able to discover what love is? Well, that's philosophy and theology. And so, God Himself is love Himself, and came and became flesh for us so we could see love incarnate. And thanks be to God, God the Father sent his Son to die for our sins, pay for it by his passion, death, and resurrection, and then rise from the dead to defeat death so we can get to heaven. And so it's up to us to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the prophesied Messiah, and that he paid for our sins, and that the gates of heaven are now open, and that we can live forever in a different type of body. Our body will rise again and will be united with our spirit, and in a glorified way that we'll never feel any pain. We'll never die again, we'll never be hurt, and it can actually travel like quantumly, can leap from place to place or in a split second or nanosecond, it's just instantaneously, I should say, and have certain agility. And so these are the magnificent mysteries of what we can learn through theology and philosophy and through the Catholic Church, the Bible, where we learn more about our Lord Jesus Christ and his will. So these are the things that I wanted to make sure where Father Chris Ehler, where he understood that, wow, you mean God is beyond time, and so he's not limited in time. So what he learned and what I wanted to share here in summary is that when people die, whether they have by suicide or suddenly or unexpectedly, just like Hulk Hogan, right? He died from a cardiac arrest And it was earlier this morning, what was it, 9:51, and I think he was pronounced dead at 11:17 in the morning, according to Clearwater Police there. And they said there's no signs of foul play, but some of you may know, you know, that you know, he had a lot of surgeries in the during his wrestling career, or injuries, you know, from his back, his knee, his hip, his shoulder. But in May 2025, not too long ago, he did have a fusion of his neck on four different levels. It's called an anterior cervical discectomy and fusion, or abbreviated ACDF. I actually had this myself, not at four different levels. I had it at one level. You know, I could have been paralyzed. Is that severe? Well, he had four levels, and that was just this past May. And it normally takes like 3 months to recuperate. And, you know, I was laid up in bed, you know, had, you know, a collar on, a stiff collar. And so I would imagine, you know, I had mine many, many years ago, you know, that he had to be, you know, wear a collar or something there and not be able to do things like he would be used to and carry things and so forth. And so, you know, his wife had said that, you know, he wasn't on his deathbed, you know, back then, and that he was there, you know, she was saying there's no these rumors that he's in a coma or anything like that. But, you know, that was early this month. So here we don't know exactly what happened, but we also pray for his soul. So my point with these two deaths and why I bring this up, not to make this program morbid, but actually to bring hope, okay, that we can pray for people such as, you know, Hulk Hogan. And, you know, his name is Terry Bollea. This is his real name. Okay, anyway, and Burrell. And why? Because of this story from Father Chris Alar, where he had thought there was no hope and he didn't really believe in the faith anymore. And he learned in this diary of St. Faustina that, you know, since Jesus is out of time, he can apply graces to the person before they die. In other words, the way Catholics look at it is when the spirit leaves the body. It's not the way medically where doctors, again, would say that the person is brain dead. They don't know when the spirit left. Like I said, doctors don't even know sometimes what a soul is or a spirit is and what the difference is, or sometimes they don't even believe in God. So they don't even entertain that fact, well, did the spirit leave? Why? Because they don't know how to measure it. They can't measure it unless they use, they understand theology and philosophy, which many of them don't really have a good grasp at, or they didn't study that. They just studied the physical sciences, not the spiritual sciences, which is higher. Anyway, so what happened was he learned, if you read the diary there, and I don't have that right next to me to quote it, but essentially the Lord says, gives this anecdote about a person who was given three chances before their spirit left their body. And this person, it looked like on the outside that this person was dead. Okay, on the outside it looked like, but interiorly, this person was having a conversation with our Lord. Now, it may seem like minutes that this happened, but it can be literally outside of time or split second where the Lord is giving this person three chances. The first chance, the person thought their sin was too great to be forgiven and refused. The Lord gave a second chance, and the same thing is refusing this mercy. And then the Lord gave the third and final time, and the person finally gave in to the Lord's persistence and his mercy, and the person was saved in that sense, and was able to go to heaven. But I don't know the rest of the story, but I'm assuming this person spent time in purgatory. Because remember, no soul can go into heaven if with any kind of venial sin. They have to be perfect. And I highly doubt that any of us can say that we are perfect, right? Unless you have the, you know, you had the sacrament of confession or the anointing of the sick, apostolic blessing, you know, some sort of plenary indulgence, and you have a short period of time with that, and then dying. So, it's very rare, in my opinion, for what I understand, that people go directly to heaven after they die. But the point was, is that, Father Chris Alar, he understood, and he learned that before the person dies, that you can still pray for that person, even though it's after the fact. And this is where I want to explain. So when his mother or grandmother, whatever relative had passed, he was told that God already knows what we would do in the future. So when we pray for that person, God already can take that prayers, and even though it's after the fact, and apply it, because he's out of time, and bring it to that person before they died. Okay, because we can't change things after they died. But what I'm trying to say is, when we pray for somebody right now, so when we pray for Ann Burrell and we pray for Hulk Hogan or, Terry Bollea, that even though they passed, our prayers right now can still be applied to them while they were still alive, before their spirit left. Why? Because God is powerful and he already knows the past, present, and future. And he knows that we are going to pray for them. And he can take those prayers in anticipation and then bring that to the person, that there's all these various people to pray for their souls before they die, before their spirit leaves their body, because that is the true definition of their death, okay? And so while I'm saying this right now, let's just pray for their souls. Before I forget here, let's pray for the soul of Terry Jean Bollea and Ann Burrell. And we ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, divine mercy, Jesus, to have mercy on their souls. You know in our heart and mind that we would pray for them even though they had passed already, that you would take our prayers for love of them, for love of you, and for the love of their soul, that they would receive your mercy before they died, that they would be able to receive it and ask forgiveness so they can be with you in eternal happiness in heaven. And we ask this in your name. Amen. And so, that prayer, is just a spontaneous prayer. It's not the best of all prayers, but just speak from your heart, So whoever you can remember, whether it's a friend from high school or college, or a relative, that you didn't part ways with, that you wish you would have said something before they passed, well, you still have a chance to pray for their soul, okay? And because God would know that you're doing that. And part of the dogma that actually gives proof of this is the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. That's when the Blessed Mother was conceived immaculately in the womb of Saint Anne, right? I mean, we're going to celebrate their feast day, Saint Joachim and Anne, this Sunday, Saturday the 26th. So it's very appropriate. I'm talking about this, where Jesus, even though he died in the year 33 A.D., in anticipation of those graces for saving of our sins, he takes that grace out from the year 33, brings it back in time, let's say 15 BC, where the Blessed Mother approximately was conceived, and applied it to her so she was not conceived with original sin. She was immaculately conceived. So what I'm telling you is actually consistent with the Church infallible teaching, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And this is what Father Chris Alar, who I'm a big fan of, as you can tell, and Divine Mercy, that you learn all of this. Now, I didn't expect I was going to speak about this. Really, I wanted to get into the readings and the gospel, but I'm going to end that part right now. I wanted to get to the part now of the readings for this coming Sunday. I don't have a lot of time. I've got like about 8 minutes here at the most, But anyway, the part where in Genesis, I'm not going to read it, but you might be familiar with it. It's about how the Lord heard about what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, it's all this immoral sexual sin, the depravity that was happening there, where we actually get the word sodomy, okay, because this is the sin that was going on there. And so what happened was God had told Abraham what he was going to do, that these people were going to be destroyed. But then Abraham really tried to bargain with God. And he bargained to the point where he would say, well, what if you find 50 good people? Would you still destroy the city? I mean, for the sake of the 50? And God relented. Abraham whittled it down from 50 to 45 to 40, then to 30, then to 20, then to 10 people. Just that, would you still destroy the city if there were 10 righteous people? And God said he wouldn't do that. But lo and behold, there wasn't even 10 people. There was literally only, it was Lot and his wife, and then his two daughters, and the two daughters had husbands. And so what was that? That was six. So there was only six people that was righteous. Some people will say, well, maybe Abraham should have just said, well, if there was at least five, maybe, you know. But again, there's even a saying right now. I grew up in San Francisco. They said, well, there's a saying that if San Francisco is not destroyed, then, you know, there must be more than, you know, 10 people there. So because, you know, there's a lot of terrible sin going on in that city. Anyway, so the point here was this. Does God change his mind? Can you bargain with God? And anthropomorphically, it seems like you can. Now, I'm no expert in this, but I just want to have the tantalizing question. You know, if God is perfect, and he is, he would never change. Because if he changes, that means there was something imperfect about him. So why would he change his mind if he's already perfect? So the way I'm thinking, again, any theologian out there, priest can correct me if I'm wrong, the way I'm thinking in my lowly mind is that God already knows the future, the past, present, and future. He's omniscient and he's omnipresent. And so he already knows. So even though he asks the question that, you know, what's going on here or what's happening, it's not like he's ignorant of what's going to happen. No, he wants to hear us say things, and so we could pass the test. And this actually leads into the gospel reading where St. Luke talks about the Our Father, and it's different. It's shorter than St. Matthew's, and it's just like how the Beatitudes are shorter in Luke's version versus St. Matthew is longer. And the point where with the Our Father is, you know, why should, if God is omnipresent and all-knowing, then why should we even pray is the point. So, again, this ties in with the first reading. Like, God already knows the future. He knows that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, and that he knew that Abraham was only going to go down a 10. But at the same time, God knows what we're going to think even before we ask. So then why does he ask us to do it? If he's all knowing and all loving, why doesn't he just give us all whatever we ask? Well, then he's spoiling us, isn't he? What parent, when you spoil your children, I mean, when you give them everything you want, you spoil them. Versus if you never give anything to them, then they get a sense of despair or that they feel that they're not loved. So God, being the good father, he would give the right amount. And he will answer when we need. But what we ask for actually has to conform to his will and also to sanctify our souls. And so this is one of the promises that I learned from St. Bridget. Remember, her feast day was yesterday, that for the seven dolors, that the Lord will give you what you ask for as long as it does not go against his divine will or the sanctification of our souls. So as good as it is to be healed, you know, like we all have some aches and pains. We may have a disability. We may be, you know, sick and dying. We may have cancer. We may be out of a job. We may be, you know, a divorce or have marital problems, and things aren't being healed. Well, excuse me. It all really depends, and you might be praying, and you will wonder, well, doesn't God love me? Why won't he answer my prayers? Well, he does answer. He's either saying yes or no or wait. And he may give you the answer you want, such as, let's say, miraculous healing, if, in fact, it's his will, and if, in fact, it sanctifies your soul. In other words, help you get to heaven so you can be with him. So if it doesn't help you get to heaven, then it won't be, you won't be healed, even though you're a good person. It's just, what, again, he weighs it against his divine will and what helps you get to be with him in heaven, because that's the most important thing. Not that we win the lottery or get this job or house or so forth. It's really to be with him, united with him. And that's the goal in life, is to be in union with our Lord. So it's one thing to get to heaven. That's the destination, per se. But it's another thing to be with him, God, the three persons, one God. And so I just want to make sure I emphasize that. So I'm just trying to tie the two readings there, the reading of Genesis and with the gospel where Jesus teaches how to pray the Our Father. And then the other thing was the second reading, just real quick, on about Colossians, is that, you know, baptism is really how our old self dies. And when we rise from baptism, it's a new life. And so this is why I thought it was also particularly important to mention the soul of Anne Burrell and the soul of Terry Bollea, also known as Hulk Hogan, that, you know, I know that Hulk Hogan was recently baptized. I think it was just a couple of months ago. A couple of years ago that he was baptized. And so that's great news. I don't know about Anne Burrell, but again, we can pray for that, because even right before the moment of death, that the Lord, divine mercy, Jesus can approach them and ask them, you know, if they would accept his mercy. I'm ahead of time, everybody. I'm just so glad you hung on with me today. It was jam-packed. And I thank you for being with me here. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless you all, and have a great rest of the week.